Hey everyone, welcome in. Today we're going to be talking about worship leader prep, what goes on in the week, picking songs, preparing for a Sunday morning, communicating with your band. It's going to be a great episode. You're listening to the Sound Worship Podcast.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about the Sunday morning prep, what that looks like leading up to a Sunday morning and executing a service with practice and all that. And so we're really going to be focusing on everything leading up to a Sunday morning. And in a future episode, we could talk about how to institute an effective worship rehearsal and what that looks like. But today is leading up to that. So, Allie, where do you think every worship leader should start in their Sunday morning prep?
They should start daily reading the Word of God.
Whew.
And I have a great quote that I just read yesterday with Warren Wiersbe.
Please share.
I will. It says, "Worship involves the Word of God, for the Word of God reveals the God of the Word."
Can you read that one more time for the slow listeners like me?
I did read it slow, but okay.
Not slow enough for my brain to compute it, okay?
Right.
Listen carefully, all you who are like me.
Okay. "Worship involves the Word of God, for the Word of God reveals the God of the Word."
That's great.
So that's why it's really important that we get to know who God is in order for us to be able to know how to worship Him.
You cannot worship who you do not know.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know God through His Word. It's His Word. He's given it to us, right?
Yep.
Great. Bryce, you look like you wanted to say something.
I was just going to say amen.
Well, good. I'm glad you spoke.
I really...
Amen, amen.
Any other wisdom?
Hey, if I put my mic down, you don't need to say... What do you want to say? There wasn't a good moment for you to say anything.
You were just itching to say something.
No, I was
not.
I just put my mic up and then put it back down. There was not a good moment for it.
Just adjusting. We need to get you a mic stand.
I need a chair. You know what? I'm sitting on a stool, all of you listeners.
Allie and I have very nice chairs, and Bryce is on a short stool.
And I keep bumping my side into your table here, and it hurts.
Well,
it's my new low.
Bring your own table and your own chair. You did bring your own chair.
There'd be no room for a table in this room.
There are two tables in this room, one for me and one for Allie.
We start a high-low buffalo.
Oh, we could. High-low buffalo.
Can you get a buffalo noise?
Is that what a buffalo sounds like?
Yeah.
High-low buffalo?
Mm-hmm. Do we need to explain this to the audience?
Yeah, explain it to them.
High is your high of the week. Low is your low of the week. You have to say at least one high, but you don't have to say a low if you don't have a low.
But for every low, you should have a high, right?
Yes. If you're going to say like five lows, which you shouldn't, there should be a cap at like three lows. You have to have at least that many amount of highs. And then your buffalo is just one word. You can or cannot provide context. It's up to you.
It could be about anything.
Mm-hmm. But it just can't be the word buffalo. That's the only
rule. Now you tell me. Okay, so high, low, buffalo. Who's got a high? I got one.
Go.
Sound Worship Podcast.
That's what I was going to say.
Too late. My low is that Bryce tried to steal my high. Buffalo.
He really wants to say buffalo.
Buffalo turkey.
Nice. Allie?
Well, we just had a worship group meeting, so that was a high.
I'm glad you said that.
I'm glad you already forgot about it.
Yeah, when was this?
That was 2 days ago.
Was I there?
Yes.
Okay.
That was a high.
Great.
Oh.
We'll have to talk more about worship team meetings, by the way, in a future episode. Getting your worship team together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Low? What's my low? I don't have a low.
You don't have to have a low, right?
You don't.
Good.
You just have to have a high.
If you don't have a low, life is good, hopefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
My low is always Bryce. It's going to have something to do with Bryce.
My low is, I just was flabbergasted by how rude you were to me and saying that.
That you're always my low?
Yeah, I'm always your low.
Like, I mean.
Makes me not want to.
That's why we're friends. That's why we're still friends, you know?
Because we're mean?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Bryce brings me down.
Thanks, man.
Honestly,
I really appreciate that.
I am surprised by the grace of God we're doing this podcast, because I feel like last week all three of us had issues with each other.
We did?
Or at least you.
What issues did you have with me?
Issues with me.
I mean, yeah, that's.
So.
I forgot what they were, but.
Glory to God.
So you think they're resolved?
I think so.
I think so. Hmm. Yeah, well, they're clearly not.
All right, that's it. So you need to start in the Word of God. I was looking at Psalm 63, where David says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." And I got to thinking, do we truly seek after God in that same way? He says, "Where my soul will thirst for you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you." Are we longing to be in the Word of God every single day? Because so many people just read the Word when they're in trouble, when they need some help, or they don't read it at all. And I've spoken to so many worship leaders who, when they struggle with things, or even people in on the worship team itself, and they're struggling, and one of the first things I ask them is, "Are you in the Word of God?" And their answer is usually always no. And they know that they need to be back in the Word, but it's always a tough place to start or get back in the habit of it. But making that habit every single day and every single morning, as David says, "Early will I seek you." If you don't make time for the Word of God, you're not going to be in the Word of God, and you need it.
Yeah, I really like how it says, you know, that longing, it's like that he has a need, that the Lord is the only thing that he needs, and he's desperate for it, and he knows that he can't do anything properly without the Lord.
Right.
So I feel like we can't forget that.
All right, so obviously we need to be in the Word, and that allows for God to speak to you, because again, it's God's Word that he's given us. He's speaking, you know, through his Word, and so we can be led by that. And then the other obvious place to start would be prayer. You know, we need to be praying and seeking after what God might want to say to us, because if you're praying, if you're asking, when you receive the answer, you'll know it's the answer because you've been asking for the answer, you know? And so when we're praying, allowing God to lead us in our prep for each week, even before we start looking at songs, before we start thinking about what we want to do, we need to be seeking God, because he might have a plan that we don't know about. And if we're not seeking him through prayer and through his Word, we're not going to hear from that. So it's important to start in God's Word, in prayer. Beyond that, Allie, what are some things that we do here at our church at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain that maybe help us in our weekly prep for song selection and such?
Like us.
Yeah, what are some things that you and I do?
Well, we, because Pastor Sandy, he teaches through the Bible, we know the next chapter that he's going to teach the next Sunday. So we're able to go ahead and read through that scripture, that chapter in the Bible, and we usually do it separately. So you'll read the chapter, I'll read the chapter, and then we'll just pray individually about how the Holy Spirit will help us to bring about songs in accordance to that scripture.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about being at Calvary Chapel, is we know where our pastor is going to be. So, and I love that we do it separately too, because I'll read and I'll have some songs that come to mind and I'll add them to our list. We use Planning Center, and so I'll start adding some songs to the list, and then Allie will start adding some songs. And sometimes I look at your songs and I think, where did you get that song from? Because I didn't catch it in scripture. And then we come together and talk about it, and we'll share, "Hey, I thought of this song because of this verse," and we kind of put it all together and have a list of songs at least to choose from. And sometimes we'll sit on those songs for a day, which I love, because it kind of gives us a chance to marinate on the songs and think it through, and maybe another song comes to mind, or maybe we realize, you know, that song isn't the best for this Sunday, and it kind of helps us as we prep throughout the week, figuring out which songs to do for this Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's cool to see how individually the Spirit connects believers to the same united idea or song. And I think it's cool to see that when we come together to see what we've picked. And also, I think I really love how, because we get to know the scripture beforehand, we read it. And I feel, I don't know, I'm sure you feel this way too, more passionate about Sunday morning because I already know what we're going to learn about. And so I feel like there's already a foundation and a passion for, I know what these songs mean in relation to what Pastor Sandy is going to teach. And I'm so excited that you guys are going to hear this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And then I love the part too when we sing the songs and then we come into service and then Pastor Sandy's teaching and all of a sudden he kind of spends some time on that section of scripture and it ties in perfectly with the song that we were singing and it's kind of like this, like, yes, like look mm-hmm. how God tied that together. You know, we were thinking it and he expounds on it and it just provides this full circle moment. And there might be a song sometimes we pick that is a little off. Maybe we haven't done it in a while, and sometimes I think, I wonder if people are wondering why we're doing this song, and then suddenly it ties into scripture, and it's like, oh, that's great, you know? Like, look how God worked.
Well, I know there are certain songs that might not even specifically go with that scripture, but we feel like the Spirit is leading us to put it on that set list, and it seems like, oh, yeah, that's a great song, why not? And then we sit in service for first service, and that's when I start thinking, that song was perfect for the way that this is being applied. Right. And I think that the Holy Spirit just astounds me with how he connects all of those things together that we have no clue, but he's working through us to be able to make that happen.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing that always amazes me too is sometimes you and I will come up with a set, we'll send it out to the band, and sometimes on a Saturday night or even a Sunday morning, our pastor will come to us and say, hey, I want you to do this song. And I'll think, you know, I didn't come up with that as I was, you know, preparing for the set. And so we'll do it. And then that Sunday morning, that's like the one song where everybody just shoots out of their seats. And all of a sudden the Spirit's moving. And it's like, wow, like God's working in your heart. He's working in my heart. He's also working in Pastor Sandy's heart. And when it all comes together, and again, we're all seeking God through his word, through prayer, and we're not doing it in the flesh, hopefully, you know, I mean, and that's what makes it so wonderful is when we're seeking him and then he moves by his Spirit, we just look back and just say, wow, God is so faithful. God just really worked in this and he knew better than we would.
Right.
If we did it in our flesh, it would be in the flesh, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's amazing.
I was just thinking about the opposite effect. If you aren't preparing, you aren't in your word, imagine how much more dangerous that is. If you're just picking songs willy-nilly or whatever you feel like, and you're just thinking about yourself and not about the congregation, not about the Spirit, and you just pick these songs, it really is just catering to you and what you said, like your flesh. And it won't be as powerful or as ordained as it could be. So I liked thinking about what the opposite would be. It's not good.
Yeah, you're right. I would even dare to say that would be reckless. Okay, so we got songs and Planning Center. From there, some things that I consider at least is, okay, like who's singing with us this Sunday? God has really blessed us with lots of wonderful singers who don't just sing harmony, but also sing melody. And hearts are great, you know, and so we love to feature them and we love to give them chances to sing songs. And so I started thinking, okay, who's scheduled this Sunday? And if we have one or two other, you know, lead vocalists, obviously I'm the worship leader, and so I sing most of the songs. Allie, you know, you sing as well. But then we have other people who I'd start looking at of who we can feature at least in a chorus or verse, or maybe we want to. We have a lady on our team who speaks Spanish, and we've been trying to feature Spanish in some verses and chorus, and try to tie that in. And so I started looking at, okay, who's scheduled this Sunday? Who might we be able to feature in a song, and could we give this song to this person or this and that? And so that determines a lot of times the keys that we sing the songs in, and which kind of determines our flow. You know, if we have one song in A and the next song is in C and the next one's in E and then the next one's in whatever, you know, we might try to start shaping the songs and set lists based on some of the keys, who's singing, and who we can feature here and there. And then there's also, you know, we've done certain songs too many times lately, so we want to try to give them a break. What songs have we just introduced in the past couple months that we want to keep in a rotation and make sure that they're aware of? And then also, there are some songs I know that that our pastor wants us to sing. And so, you know, we just kind of start putting these songs together and putting the set list together based on what we felt like God has kind of led us to, but then also the other parameters that we keep in mind, such as keys and people and songs we've done too much, songs we haven't done enough of. So that determines a lot of how we create our set list as well.
So how do you not get bogged down by all those different things like flow, keys, this song, that song, this person, this instrument? What do you do?
You know, I just get bogged down.
Perfect.
You know, I mean, going back to what we were saying before, we seek the Lord and then the Lord gives answers. A lot of times the set will just sort of, I don't want to say it creates itself, but sometimes it will create itself. Like, we'll have a bunch of songs on there that are tying into scripture and we feel like God has put on our hearts. And a lot of times they're in the same key. And so it kind of becomes easy and some of the same tempos. And so we start looking at how to flow. And if there are, we do have the occasional Sunday where we have keys all over the place and it's hard to figure out how to make them flow together. And then we start thinking, okay, well, can we share a scripture in between this song, or can we pray here, or can we tie it in with a chorus? You know, sometimes you just have to stop, hit pause, and come back later and, you know, gain some more clarity through it. And sometimes when you come back and get a fresh look at it, it all makes sense, and you're not bogged down anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, if you want some perspective on this, want some help, we're actually hosting a worship conference this January, the 14th through the 16th, right here at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. You can register you and your team by going to calvarychapeldeepsouth.com/WC24. That's calvarychapeldeepsouth.com/WC24.
Yeah, we hope you can join us. You and your team, worship leader, bring your whole team out. We're going to have some workshops for, you know, different instruments and vocalists and great Bible teachings, and it's going to be wonderful. So go find out more information on that website.
All right, guys. Well, once you get to that point, how do you communicate this to your band? Where do you go from here?
Yeah, well, since we use Planning Center, we're able to put our songs in there with the keys, and so it has that information. We also link it, have an integration to multitracks.com, which by the way, if Multitracks and Planning Center, if you guys want to pay us for plugging your names, that's great. But sponsored by. And so once we put our songs in Planning Center with the keys and all, we also integrate it with multitracks.com, which has rehearsal software, and so people can, our band can go and listen to it. So they can listen to it in the key of C. If the original song's in key of D, it'll transpose it into the key of C. It emphasizes the guitar parts, the drums, the vocals, and so our band is able to go in and listen to those parts and practice at home, which is really important because we at our church, we have something every single night of the week. There's something here every night, a different group meeting and a Bible study here and youth groups and everything. So we don't really have time throughout the week for our band to come and rehearse before a Sunday morning. And so that's the reason we use Multitracks for our band rehearsal software, is so everybody, the expectation is that we've communicated to our band is everybody listens to their songs and their parts at home. They prepare their parts at home. And then Sunday morning, we show up a little bit early and then we put everything together. That's not our time of rehearsing and figuring out a song for the first time. They're not hearing it for the very first time. They're hearing it now together as a band, and they're putting all those parts together, and we're refining. We might go through that new song 2 to 3 times for that practice that morning, and we feel pretty confident, at least enough to introduce it that Sunday, and then we build upon it, you know, in the weeks ahead. So that's really a great tool for us to use. Along with that, we can put notes in Planning Center under each song. And so we'll put, who's leading the song. And if it's 2 or 3 people leading the song together, then we'll list out, you know, verse 1 in chorus is being led by Matt. Verse 2 in chorus 2 is Allie. And then we're together on the bridge or whatever it might be. If we have Spanish, we're featuring that, you know, hey, these parts are Spanish. So that helps out in a few ways because our sound guy knows who to feature on this verse and this chorus. He knows who to maybe pull the fader up for. Maybe we're going from a person singing harmony whose fader is down a little bit to a person singing lead now, and so their fader is up a little bit. And hopefully it helps you guys in the booth, Bryce, also for other reasons.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it helps in a lot of different production areas, sound, like you were saying. And with lyrics, sometimes you might just use a tag or a chorus or a bridge of a song right at the end. And so we'll know how to put all that together in like ProPresenter. Sometimes it's really helpful for cameras. So we know like, hey, like piano is going to have an intro here, or electric guitar. We know like we can start the song showing off those instruments from all areas of production. It's really helpful for us to be prepared for 99% of what's happening during worship on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's great. That way you're not showing me on the screen while Allie's singing.
Yeah, we try.
This looks weird.
Yeah.
It's happened.
It has happened, yeah. Allie just has a very, I have a very high-pitched voice, you know,
and
all
I have
of a sudden.
A deep one.
Yeah, so.
It makes sense why that would happen.
Yeah. Now, but we try our best to communicate with everybody for those reasons. I mean, we're all human. We're all going to mess up, but we try to at least get everything in place to help everybody out. And we use Planning Center for that. We have Planning Center pulled up in front of each person, and everybody kind of follows it as a key. We also put notes in there, you know, like Bryce said about, hey, the electric guitar is going to do the intro here, or the piano is going to do an intro here. And so that helps camera people to know who to feature at what points. That helps our sound guy know who to pull up, faders and all. So we put those notes there. And then we obviously send the set list out to our band. And what we do is I look at who's, okay, if we have an electric guitar intro, I contact the electric guitar player and I say, hey, there's an intro here. Can you make sure you cover that in this key? You know, maybe sometimes we'll change songs. Like I might lead a song in G and Allie leads it in D. And so I'll make sure they know, hey, we're doing this song this Sunday, but in the key of D. And so make sure you have the lead line. Make sure you don't come out with the lead line in G, which has happened before. So we want to, you know, make sure that everybody knows what to expect and that they're expected to prepare that part and bring that part. I don't want anybody caught off guard. I don't want anybody to show up and feel unprepared. You know, we just want to make sure we're communicating what we're expecting from them. They know what to do when they show up. And also, give yourself a deadline. Make sure that every week you have a certain day that you will make sure the songs are sent out by that day. Now, look, some people send songs out months in advance and they plan for a whole month at a time, and that's totally fine. That works well for them. For us, it's a week-by-week thing, and our deadline is Thursday. And so by the end of day Thursday, we like to walk out of here having all of our songs sent out. Number one, I've noticed our band, for the most part, does not even listen to the songs. If I send them out on a Monday or Tuesday, they won't listen to them until later on in the week anyway. And sometimes they'll accept the plan on Monday, and by that Thursday or Friday, they forget they've accepted it, and they forget they're even on the band for that Sunday.
Yeah.
So I like to send it out closer towards the end of the week, but not, you know, too far to where they can't practice and they can't learn a song. And Thursday worked really well for us. It just happens to work well. So that also gives me time by Friday, and especially by Saturday, if someone has not accepted the plan in Planning Center. We've also communicated to our team, hey, make sure you accept or decline. If you can't make it anymore, make sure you let me know for various reasons. But accept the plan. And if by Friday or Saturday I've noticed they haven't accepted it, well, then I can follow up with that person directly. But for the most part, by Friday evening, everyone's accepted it. By Saturday, I'm just checking in and making sure no one's, you know, forgotten about it or whatever, and making sure I don't have to find the drummer last minute because I forgot they were out of town and they didn't look at their email or whatever. So you need to give yourself a deadline. I don't think your deadline should be Saturday. My deadline used to be Saturday when I first started leading worship. Sometimes, this is really embarrassing, when I was leading worship by myself, my deadline would be our service started 10:30 on a Sunday, and sometimes my deadline would be like 10:20. Like I said, it was when I first started leading worship, and I was by myself, and I would, you know, by Saturday have two or three songs in mind that I was going to do that Sunday morning, and by Sunday morning, I would leave myself enough time to print the other two songs that I came up with and then, you know, go in for a sound check. So I don't recommend that. It's very stressful for you and for other people. And,
sounds like it.
Even if you're by yourself. But for us, because we have a team in the booth, we have, what, four or five people, Bryce, back there, cameras and...
Yeah, five people.
Five people in the booth. So those people, we need to make sure they know what they're doing. These are volunteers, by the way. So we have a couple of paid staff. They're working. That's their job to organize it all. But we have some volunteers who are helping out. And our whole worship team is volunteers as well. We don't pay them. They're not professionals. They're people who love Jesus, who come to our church, and we want to feature them and let them be a part of our worship. we want to make sure that we equip them to do a good job, to feel comfortable with what they're doing. And, you know, we want to be prepared. And so give yourself that deadline.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, just so you know, the things that we're talking about, it is, you know, specific to our church and the way in which we feel like the Lord has led us to prepare. And so I would say, you know, take the principles that we're talking about and pray about how God will use that in your church. But, you know, the specific day, the amount of rehearsals, you might be like, are you kidding me? but that's just how our church works and how it works for our volunteers and all of the different events that we talked about that we have going throughout the week allows time for.
Yeah, we had a last year a worship leaders cabin collective. So we have a cabin on our property and we invited, you know, what, 10 or so worship leaders from the Deep South Calvary Chapels, and they came and we spent a day or two just kind of discussing worship and a couple of teachings and just worshiping together. And it was really great time. But one of the questions I posed was, what does your weekly rehearsal and prep look like? And so one guy kind of had a similar answer to what I said. They, you know, it's like one or two people at their church and they just pick out the songs on Saturday night or Sunday and they come and just put it together and it works. Another guy said, well, we have a Thursday night rehearsal that lasts about 3 hours. And everybody in the room was like, oh, you know, 3 hours. I mean, that's extensive. And he says, yeah, we come together and we just go over the songs and then we go over them again and we go over them again. And it lasts about 3 hours. And then it's mandatory. So if you're singing or playing that Sunday, you have to show up that Thursday for that. And then on Sunday morning, we show up a couple hours before services and we rehearse it all again and go over it again. And then we do two services. And everybody around the room started choking. And one
pass out. Yeah,
one guy said, like, what, are you crazy? Like, how do you do that? Like, what how does the band feel about that? And I think that was a good question because, you know, we're all thinking there's no way this guy is going to, like, you know, have people who want to be on their band much longer. And he goes, they love it. If they miss a Thursday night, they are just in sorrow and agony. They just hate missing it. It is such a great night. Like, they have a weekly team night, basically. Wow. And it becomes this thing. And if someone had to miss it for any reason, they're upset. And they love it. And apparently it's the culture that they've set and it works for them. Yeah. And so as you're saying, what works? Well, here's what I realized in that moment. What works for that guy doesn't work for the other guy who has one other person with him, which doesn't work for us because of our situation here at the church with stuff every night of the week. And I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay. You need to find out what works well for you as the leader and then implement things in place that will help your team succeed. And if it's a three-hour night, you know, nightly rehearsal or a weekly rehearsal, great. But that might not be the case. Find what works well for you and go with that. I think the point, though, as I was reading through recently in Exodus 30, the musicians of the temple, Heman, Jeduthun, they were skilled. They were put in charge of the worship of the temple. And they were, again, they were skilled. They knew what they were doing. They were prepared and they had a certain skill to bring to the table. And then in 2 Chronicles 8:16, we read that the work of Solomon was well-ordered from the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord until it was finished. So Solomon, he didn't come up with the plans for the temple, the work of the temple. Those plans were given to him. There were parameters set for him. But what he did, all his work in executing it, everything he did was well-ordered. And I think that is very important, very key. Yes, we want to obviously leave room for the Spirit, but the Spirit can work in our planning as much as he can work during the service as well. Mm-hmm. And so we want to have a mixture of that. We want to have the Spirit leading us throughout the week as we are well-ordered leading up to a Sunday, but also on that Sunday, letting the Spirit work in those moments of our worship as well, which we could talk about in a future episode of our podcast here. But the idea, guys, be well-ordered. You know, put things in place, start putting some parameters and start putting some procedures in place, but equip your teams and help them succeed as much as you want to succeed as well.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, do us a favor and like and follow this podcast, whatever platform you're listening to. Share it with your friends. Give us a good rating to help our listeners see more of our content. You can submit any questions for a discussion on a future episode by visiting soundworshippodcast.com, or you can email us at soundworshippod@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening today to the Sound Worship Podcast.